Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And today, Chris, we are delighted to have with us Tracy Wilkinson. Tracy is the Rome Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times, directing news coverage of Italy, the Vatican, Spain, Turkey, Greece, and Mediterranean areas. She's also the winner of the Polk Award for Foreign Reporting for her work in Bosnia and Kosovo in the 1990s, and is also the author of a book called The Vatican's Exorcists, Driving Out the Devil in the 21st Century. And Tracy, good morning. Welcome to the program. Delight to have you with us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Tracy, how does an experienced journalist like yourself, who has covered wars, guerrilla movements, political conflict, get involved with a ritual such as exorcism in the Catholic Church?
Very carefully.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yes. The book grew out of a feature article I did for my newspaper, for the Los Angeles Times, on a specific exorcist, a particular exorcist in Rome. And the article seemed to really hit a nerve. It got a lot of reaction and piqued my curiosity and interest in the topic to understand exactly how common or uncommon this ritual is, who is performing it, who is seeking out exorcisms, and the extent to which that, at least the seeking out of exorcisms, was growing. It also is a way, for me, I thought was a way to explore what I consider the most fascinating debate within Catholicism, and I think within many religions, is this the tension between faith and reason, and the extent to which you can reconcile faith and reason. So I thought this was an area that really lent itself to that kind of analysis, and that's how I got started.
I'm probably going to sound very unsophisticated here, but it's a creepy subject.
It is a creepy subject, and I think a lot of people in the church would agree with you. I think even in the hierarchy of the church here in Rome, I think there is a lot of ambivalence about the topic. Many officials in the church would prefer it this just be left on at the fringes where they think it belongs. But there is a group of exorcists, of priests in Rome and throughout Italy who are promoting it and who see exorcism as a valuable tool for fighting their perception of evil.
I think that's what I found so fascinating about the book, because you do point out that Pope Benedict XVI had praised the exorcist as well as John Paul II did, but he also has stressed the importance of injecting reason into faith. And I think you approach this subject with that in mind. I mean, you're very cautionary, so you're not sensationalistic at all.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you think that, and that's certainly what the balance I tried to strike. Obviously, it is a topic that could easily be sensationalized, misunderstood, and I did try to show that ambivalence, that on the one hand, the importance of the ritual as part of the historical tradition of the Church, but also, as Benedict says, as you pointed out, the need and the importance of including reason with faith, that the two must go hand in hand.
Right. Well, and I think as a lifelong Roman Catholic myself, this is probably one of the most misunderstood aspects of things that are associated with the Catholic faith, and that you hear people that there are such things as authentic exorcisms, there are authentic possessions by demons, by devils, and yet there's another camp there that just doesn't quite buy into it. And I think that our late Holy Father, John Paul II, kind of gave a little clarity to that. And would you say at that point in time, things kind of move forward and maybe a little more out in the open on exorcisms actually occurring, and the fact that there are so many priests out there that can perform these exorcisms?
Yes, I do think that's accurate. I think that John Paul spoke quite articulately of the presence of evil, of Satan as a force that continues to tempt mankind, and I think that did lend a certain authority to this ritual. But as you know, I mean, you mentioned the different camps. There certainly has always been a struggle on how to perceive the reality of Satan. Is evil an entity that acts, or is evil the result of man's actions and his own thoughts and processes? So this is a debate that continues within the church, and we see how exorcism has had its place within that debate.
I think you are very careful in exploring the history of how we've come to understand the need for exorcisms or its place in the church. And I mean, frankly, it goes back to Scripture, even in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. I mean, you hear about possessions and the Lord's instruction to go out and expel them.
Exactly. Jesus was an exorcist. And because of that, because of the idea of exorcism and of Satan and the banishing of demons being part of the Scripture, that is why to this day the church must continue to preserve the ritual, at least as something that is available. They don't necessarily have to promote it or have to emphasize it, but in their view they certainly do have to preserve it because it is in the Bible.
And you are very clear-headed when you point out that there are different manifestations, too, of demonic influence. It's not all Linda Blair and The Exorcist.
Correct. Correct. It's much, much more nuanced than that.
Exactly. And because of that, it is amazing that John Paul would essentially reopen, for lack of a better way of saying it, an office in the Vatican to deal precisely with exorcisms.
Well, I think, again, there are competing impulses here. He would have undoubtedly seen a need for it, but also it was important to the Vatican to keep a certain control over it, to not let it be exaggerated or abused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finally in 1999, they rewrote part of the manual that governs the ritual to take into account advances in medical science and the importance of consulting psychiatrists and doctors when embarking on this ritual. And so I think that was also at play here. Yes, we recognize that there is a need in rare and clearly defined circumstances for exorcism, but we also want it to be handled very responsibly.
Right. Now, Tracy, in going through the book, obviously there are a number of, I think Chris called it creepy, but very chilling accounts of priests encountering people who were possessed and all of the exchanges and so on and so forth. And one of the interesting things that I found in here, and maybe you can back this up by some of the research that you were doing, was the fact that how are people possessed? How do they come into being possessed by these demons? I think in a couple of accounts, there were parents who were dabbling in the occult or black magic, and children somehow became possessed. How do these things come about?
Right. Well, to hear the priests tell it, that is one example where a parent had been dabbling in the occult that somehow opened the door to evil, as they put it. Some priests say that a person who has had an abortion or who is living in a state of sin is vulnerable. Again, these are not things I can testify to,
right.
But
mm-hmm.
This is how the priests describe the vulnerability. Italy is also a very superstitious country, in addition to being a very Catholic country, and people speak of casting spells and the evil eye and that sort of thing. Again, the church frowns on that,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly is what sort of puts the idea in the minds of some people.
And in many of those cases where people essentially leave themselves, as they would say, open to allowing this to occur in their lives, also the church will tell you that if you just practice a spiritual life, I mean, if you're praying, if you're receiving the sacraments in the Catholic Church, those things in itself can, of course, defeat those spirits. I mean, it's just part of it is just living out a life of holiness.
Right, right. And that's common sense.
Right.
I guess some people find themselves in a condition where they just can't get themselves over that hump to go back to church or to seek out the sacraments or what have you. So I think it's for those people who are in a more dire condition that they turn to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious about you having met some very interesting people. For one, you spent a very wonderful chapter on the exorcists themselves. What a different group of people.
Well, I think it is important to see that they're not a monolithic group. They, among them, have many different ideas and philosophies and approaches. There's the more traditionalist group that insists on using Latin all the time. They're the younger exorcists who might be more inclined to use, in this case, Italian, because we're in Italy. And they, some of the older ones especially, believe in what they call a diagnostic exorcism, where they use the exorcism to diagnose whether the person is possessed or not. Again, church does not approve of, but something that many of the older traditional exorcists do practice. And then in the newer generation, there are some young, very intelligent priests who are doing this, and some who are very reluctant. One of my favorite characters is the reluctant exorcist. He takes this so seriously that he doesn't really want this to be an important part of his ministry. He sees he would prefer to focus on more life affirming aspects of the faith, but his bishop has asked him to do this, and so he is doing this. And yeah, I just thought it was an interesting insight that it's not one monolithic group of priests, that there are a divergence of opinion.
And also a divergence of different patients, different persons who feel that they are being assaulted or possessed in a certain way. And you really encountered some very different souls.
Wow. Yeah,
indeed. And again, the behavior I witnessed, I think, can be explained through science and medicine. I think that one woman whose exorcism that I was allowed to monitor from outside, I really do think she's seriously mentally ill. Some of the other people, they seem to be able to lead a more or less normal life, and they say the exorcisms have helped them enormously in coping with their life. I mean, at the end of the day, an exorcism in its simplest form is prayer, and so if they find that a weekly session of prayer helps them deal with their lives, I suppose that's fine, as long as nothing is being abused. So it is a varied group of patients.
And it should be pointed out as well that some of even the possessions that were described in the New Testament, the gospel stories, one recently just read in the Catholic Church in our liturgy is the story of a young man who very clearly had the signs of epilepsy.
Exactly.
And so, but at that time, they would not have been able to diagnose that or understand that, but he was still healed. Sometimes we can understand, as you just said, there are some very scientific reasons for the symptoms that plague these people.
Right, right, indeed. And supposedly, today, that person would be treated for his epilepsy. But obviously, prayer does, I think, for many people, have a power to if not heal, obviously, an affliction like epilepsy, at least it has a comforting, curative effect for many people. So,
and Tracy, you pointed out, too, that I think a lot of us, when we think of demons being cast out and stuff, obviously we go to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the apostles who were told to go and expel demons, that this seems to be, to us, one of these things that's an instant out kind of occurrence. You know, you tell the demon to leave, you throw a little holy water or whatever, and the demon departs. And in the ones that you chronicled in your book, is actually does not seem to be the case. Those seem to be a lot rarer than ones, the possessions that go on sometimes literally for years.
Exactly, yes. Our impression from the Bible is that it's an instantaneous sort of exorcism. But the priest and exorcist I dealt with said no, that in fact it can go on for years, like a therapy, like the kind of psychological therapy that I suppose non-believers would go to. Week after week, months, sometimes years of various levels and forms of exorcism in some cases. So it is rarely instantaneous. In fact, one of the key exorcists I spoke to said he'd never had an instantaneous kind of cure. So it definitely is something that takes longer.
Again, you so balance this book so well by having even the thoughts of Father Benedict Groeschel, who's highly respected in the United States, who pointed out that he has never actually even encountered a true demonic possession.
Right.
He's seen demonic oppression, but that's a bit different.
Exactly, exactly. And here, too, the exorcists are the first to tell you that actual demonic possession is extremely rare.
Right.
They do think, many of them think they have seen it, but it is very, very rare. There is consensus on that.
We have to talk about the one standout character in the book, and I don't mean to refer to him as a character as much as, but his personality is so strong that it does stand out, as Father Amorth. He is quite a controversial figure.
He is quite controversial. I think I call him the chattiest exorcist, because he likes publicity. He sees evil everywhere, from the Harry Potter books on down. And he has, though he is very charismatic in the secular meaning of that word, in that he has a very vibrant personality, a large following, and he has worked, I think, more than anybody to sort of push the idea of exorcism into the mainstream, or closer to the mainstream, and gain for it acceptance. He is controversial. He believes in this thing I referred to earlier as the diagnostic exorcism, where an exorcism is performed to determine whether the person is possessed or not. And he says quite cavalierly, frankly, oh, you know, an exorcism never hurt anyone. Well, many people would disagree with that,
yeah, sure,
including at the highest levels of the church. And so he is frowned upon from some levels of the hierarchy, but he certainly has drawn attention to the subject like no one else.
Yeah, it is an interesting ritual, because even in the Catholic Church, even today, they're outside of even the actual exorcism, there are minor rites of exorcism that will be done just to pray that someone, not so much being possessed, but that demons will stay away from someone as they're trying to discern a decision or those types of things. Because we do believe the fact that there is evil and that there is the devil, frankly. And the Church doesn't deny that. It still upholds that.
Right, or even a baptism.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Is a form of exorcism.
And it does deserve to be said, you know, Carl Menninger, who was a great psychiatrist, psychologist, study of the human mind, even in his writings has written about chapters where he has what he feels people who have been under a demonic influence, mm-hmm, and has written about that. And there are certain characteristics. So, I mean, it's a topic that really is worthy of a lot of discussion, and you do it, again, so clearly and not sensationalistic. I anticipated that when I read the book, and I thought, oh, this is actually very informative.
Well,
I like this.
It's a very informative and very riveting read, actually, yes.
Glad to hear that. Very glad to hear that. Yeah, I did try to be, you know, as fair as possible and skeptical, but also open-minded, and use my repertorial skills, such as they are.
So did you, as someone on the outside, kind of using your reporter's eye and chronicling all this, have you had any of your opinions changed?
Well, I can't say that my opinions have been changed, but I do have a respect for the thinking that goes into this, that the, you know, there's not an automatic acceptance throughout the church of these rituals, but rather an intellectual analysis of them, a very measured approach. There is debate ongoing, and I think all those things are very important, and that caused me to have newfound respect for the processes. I you know, I can't say that I have changed my basic fundamental beliefs, but certainly I've gained more respect for the care that is taken in something this sensitive and this important.
I think that's extraordinarily fair.
Well, Tracy, we want to thank you for being with us today. We've been talking with Tracy Wilkinson, author of the book, The Vatican's Exorcists, Driving Out the Devil in the 21st Century. Again, be a recommended read. It's a great book, very vivid, very graphic on a lot of levels, but
not that creepy.
Okay. Chris is over the creeps now.
Yes, so. I was done by the time I read the book, so it's just fine.
Great.
So, Tracy, again, thanks you so much for doing your investigation, for writing this book, and for taking some time for us and our listeners today. We appreciate
and
it.
And for being very fair and balanced on reporting on this issue.
Absolutely.
As well.
Well, thank you. Thank you both so much. I really appreciate it.